This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. It is the 19th day of March. It is Thursday or Friday evening, as I like to call it. My name's JD. We are live right now. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. Really appreciate all of you guys tuning in and appreciate all of you guys in the chat room. Always say that every morning, but it always is nice every morning to see such a nice crowd of people in there so early. We can't tell you how much we appreciate the support here at the radio show. And also appreciate you guys supporting the network, Truth Frequency. Obviously, this place is the best network in the world. Did you guys enjoy yesterday's show? I hope you guys pulled a lot away from that. I thought John was absolutely amazing. Man, I just had such a great time hanging out with you guys yesterday, and I just wanted to reiterate that. Absolutely amazing guest with Mr. Perkins coming on. If you guys missed that, please go check it out in the archives, because that is a gentleman who has got a perspective that is wholly unique in this situation that we find ourselves in now. And some of the advice that he had about the way we can change the planet, man, I really liked it. I really liked it, and I really hope you guys pulled a lot away from that. Hope you guys are pulling a lot away from all the shows, really. We do our best to get the best guests in the world on, and today is not going to be any exception. So in about an hour, Lily Williams is going to be joining us. Lily Williams is a very unique individual. I think you guys are going to really enjoy this. Now, she grew up in China and then came to the United States. She has become a very devout libertarian. She lives in Colorado right now, and she's a very outspoken critic of the Common Core, mostly because the Common Core reminds her so much of the system that she escaped when she was a child there in China. So again, another very unique perspective that we're going to be bringing to the radio show today. She's an outspoken, as I said, critic of Common Core, but she's also an advocate for a lot of different independent individual rights types of ideas. So, you know, like a good libertarian should be. But she's a very remarkable, she's really a pistol. I think you guys are going to enjoy having her on the show in about an hour. And then tomorrow, I don't even know what to say about tomorrow, guys. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, really, fundamentally, the world is crazy, right? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills right now. And of course, I'm talking mostly about the economy. There's a lot of other things going on in the world also, but I mean, mostly the economy right now is in crazy land. And of course, there's a lot of transitions that are going to be taking place over, I don't know, the next 12 hours. And so couldn't possibly be a better day for Andrew Gause to be joining us on the program. Obviously, he's been on a lot. He's kind of our local monetary guru. Absolutely love having him on the program. But obviously, tomorrow, having a monetary historian on the program is probably going to help us sort out exactly what's going on around the world. We have a lot of economic stuff to talk about. I'm going to blow through some international news and some national news for you guys, just kind of bring you up to speed on everything that's happened in the last 24 hours. But then, yeah, we've got some economic stuff to talk about. There's a couple of good stories in here today, too, so I'll try and keep it a little bit lighter. Just want to tell you guys again how much I appreciate you guys all being out there. This is about the most fun anybody could have, I swear. Okay, let's hop into the international news right now, because again, lots of transitions taking place this week. It is Thursday. It's the 19th of March right now, so we're 2 days beyond the election that happened in Israel. And because of that election in Israel, obviously Netanyahu has won that election pretty handedly, apparently, now that we've seen the results of the polls. It's changing our international policy a little bit in terms of the United States. So after years of blocking UN efforts to pressure Israelis and Palestinians into accepting a lasting two-state solution, the United States right now is edging closer towards supporting a UN Security Council resolution that would call for the resumption of political talks to conclude a final peace settlement, according to Western diplomats. They just released this last night. So the move obviously follows Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's decisive re-election on Tuesday after the incumbent party publicly abandoned his commitment to negotiate a Palestine state. That's basically what he did. So this has been the basis of more than 20 years of U.S. diplomatic efforts in the region, and the promised to continue the construction, this is Netanyahu again, promising to continue the construction of settlements on occupied territory. So the development now also reflects a deepening pessimism over the prospect of U.S. brokered negotiations delivering peace talks between the Israelis and the Palestinians. So shortly before this week's election, the United States informed its diplomatic partners that it would hold off on any moves in the UN Security Council designed to put Israel on the spot at the United Nations in the event that Netanyahu's challenger, Isaac Herzog, won the election. But now U.S. officials signaled a willingness to consider a UN resolution in the event that Netanyahu was re-elected and formed a coalition government opposed to the peace talks. So the United States has not yet circulated a draft, but diplomats say Washington has now set some new red lines and is unwilling to agree to a fixed deadline for political talks to conclude. Anyway, Netanyahu's government will likely be made up of right-wing Orthodox parties adamantly opposed to making concessions to the Palestinians. According to a statement from Netanyahu's office, the Israeli leader has already consulted with party leaders he plans to add to his coalition, including Naftali Bennett of the pro-settlement Jewish Home Party, Avigdor Lieberman, who is a far-right nationalist from the Yisrael Benetiu Party, and leaders of the ultra-Orthodox Shas and United Torah Judaism parties. So on Wednesday, the State Department spokesman Jen Psaki, gotta love her, did not rule out the possibility of the United States supporting a UN resolution on Israel and Palestine. So again, we're starting to see the wind shifting in terms of our international policy. And I agree. I agree with what's going on in the chat room right now. Danger, danger, red flag. And let's go on. Let's go on another step. According to the Associated Press, this is news coming out of Lausanne, Switzerland last night. Officials there are telling the Associated Press that a draft nuclear accord negotiated between the U.S. and Iran would force Iran now to cut hardware it could use to make an atomic bomb by about 40% for at least a decade. So again, we're starting to see now that they are actually drafting an accord between the United States and Iran in terms of their nuclear policy, right? Officials say that the draft would also offer, listen to this, would also offer Iranians immediate relief from sanctions that have crippled their economy. Wow, who could have seen that coming 2 weeks ago when we reminded you guys that Valerie Jarrett obviously has the ear of Barack Obama right now and that most of what we're seeing is just fluff on the surface. But obviously the sanctions against Iran were based on crap information from the Mossad that was essentially put up by Netanyahu to make them look like they were developing a nuclear weapon. We've already seen that. Those cable leaks came out just a couple of weeks ago. And that wasn't a Snowden leak. That was those leaks from the SSA. Remember the intelligence agency there in Africa. So again, officials now saying that this draft deal would offer the Iranians immediate relief from sanctions that have crippled their economy. Probably a great time to be. Never mind. The deal would cap Iran's uranium centrifuges for 6,000 at 6,000 for a decade or more. And the centrifuge number is less than the 10,000 such machines Tehran now currently runs. But it's substantially more than the 500 to 1,500 that Washington originally wanted as the ceiling. So the existence of a draft in circulation might be the clearest indication yet that the two sides are nearing a written agreement before the March 31st deadline. So just pointing that out again, Iran, not necessarily the devil, actually been doing quite a few really good things around the region. And, you know, I think that the inspectors I finally realized that most of the information that they based all of these sanctions on was not reality. So I think we're going to see that whole region over there just absolutely explode, especially once those sanctions come off. We got to talk about the situation that developed in Tunisia yesterday. 22 people, including two foreign tourists and two gunmen, have been killed. I'm sorry, 22 people include foreign tourists, including foreign tourists and two gunmen, I don't know why that's so difficult to say, have been killed following a siege by armed militants at a museum in the capital, Tunis, that's the capital of Tunisia, reporting state television yesterday. So the Prime Minister, Essied, said the standoff was over. It reportedly 17 tourists lost their lives. One of them was a Tunisian, believed to be a janitor working in the museum, also died, and a policeman was also killed. So approximately a three-hour attack and hostage siege took place at the Bardo Museum in the country's capital. The crisis concluded when security forces stormed the building next to the Tunisian parliament and killed two gunmen. The Prime Minister Assid also able to confirm that Italian, German, Polish, and Spanish tourists were among those killed at the attack in the museum. According to Reuters, he also added that 22 tourists were injured as well as two Tunisian men. The Tunisian Prime Minister also added that the security forces are still looking for two or three people who may have helped the gunmen. Ahmad Fadli, who witnessed the events unfolding, is also a correspondent for the Al Tunisian newspaper, said the militants were wearing soldiers' uniforms. The Poland's foreign ministry said earlier that three Polish nationals had been injured in the attack. Some of the Polish victims were on a tour bus in front of the museum at the moment of the attack, according to the Prime Minister of Poland, Iwa Kopczek. I also would not give any numbers of the Polish casualties. But anyway, the militants entered the museum through the country's parliament in Tunis, which was also in session, and the MPs managed to reach safety, and the building was evacuated as a precaution. Both the parliament and the museum are located in Bardo Palace. And about 200 people were believed to be in the museum at the time when the gunman struck. Local reports said that 160 tourists were rescued from the building via a back door, while around 20 or 30 were still being held as the siege continued. So, again, three-hour siege in a museum there next to the Tunisian parliament did finally come to a conclusion, but not before 22 people had lost their lives. I got to tell you, too, Paul Joseph Watson over at InfoWars did a pretty good breakdown of this, and he really believes that this attack on the museum in Tunisia had its roots in the NATO's destabilization of neighboring Libya, during which the terrorists affiliated with al-Qaeda were armed and funded in an effort to topple Gaddafi, which kind of makes sense. But again, early indications suggest that the attack is probably the work of Ansar al-Sharia, who is a militant terror group associated with al-Qaeda that was also blamed for the 2012 Benghazi attack. Ansar al-Sharia came into prominence during the Libyan civil war, during which NATO countries, including the United States and the United Kingdom, supported violent jihadist groups allied with al-Qaeda. The group is composed of fighters belonging to the February 17th Martyrs Brigade, which was hired by the U.S. State Department to quote-unquote defend the Benghazi mission months before that attack. And Ansar al-Sharia seized power and territory in Libya with the direct aid of the U.S. and British support for jihadist groups in Libya in the form of cruise missile attacks, which preceded the demise of Gaddafi. So again, what we're seeing here is more overflow from our destabilization efforts in Libya, according to Paul Joseph Watson. And I'll tell you, he does really good research, so I don't disdoubt that. Disdoubt? Is that a word? I don't know. We're making up words today on the Red Pill Reports, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's happening. we touched a little bit on the pedophilia case that's going on in the UK right now and kind of bleeding over into the Virgin Islands and into the phone book and email book of Bill Clinton for some reason. But I wanted to bring this particular story up because a Westminster MP is now urging that police officers and service officials who come forward with information about this alleged Westminster pedophile ring must be given immunity from prosecution for breaking the Official Secrets Act. So again, Mr. Watson, who's a Labour MP, has called on the Prime Minister to offer new guarantees to potential whistleblowers. And it was reported yesterday, and I kind of scanned over this story again here, but the Scotland Yard being investigated now itself over claims that it covered up child sex abuse because of involvement of influential MPs and police officers. So according to the Telegraph, new claims were also made on BBC's Newsnight that officers who arrested Sir Cyril Smith, the late Liberal MP, on suspicion of hosting sex parties with teenage boys were warned to keep quiet about the investigation or face prosecution under the Official Secrets Act. So Mr. Watson said it is now clear that the Prime Minister must guarantee that the former police and intelligence officers who wish to help the IPCC with their inquiries will have the threat of the Official Secrets Act lifted. With this new inquiry, he goes on to say, it is also clear that the duty of all police officers, intelligence officers, and civil servants who have knowledge of this cover-up to come forward. It is their duty to do so. Among the allegations being investigated by the IPCC is a claim that the House of Parliament document found at a child sex offender's address linked a number of highly prominent individuals, including MPs and senior police officers, to a pedophile ring, but no further action was taken. Another allegation is that an abuse victim's account was altered to omit a senior politician's name. It's also been alleged that no further action was taken into claims of child abuse involving a former senior Met police officer and further members of the establishment, including judges. So an investigation into young men being targeted in the Dolphin Square, which was an apartment complex near the House of Parliament, popular with MPs, was also allegedly stopped because officers were too near prominent people. And I agree, everybody in the chat room saying the same thing. These people are absolutely disgusting. And, you know, the level of depravity that surrounds us really fundamentally is overwhelming when you really stop and look at what's going on, because these are not These aren't just abuse situations. These are absolutely ritual sexual abuse involving animals, involving children. And people are dying. I mean, we're talking about the most heinous and heinous of crimes, and it was going on in the basement of freaking Westminster. I mean, it's so frightening to me that this kind of thing has been going on for such a long time. The amount of power that these people have to cover these acts up, it's just staggering to me, and I really hope that the winds of change are starting to sweep through that nation there, and also ours, because it's just disgusting. Just disgusting. Okay, moving on. Got a little bit of news coming out of Iraq right now. An informed source in the Nineveh province said on Wednesday that elements of the ISIS group have been digging a number of trenches around the city of Mosul, named a caliphate wall, to counter any sudden attacks by the Iraqi armed forces and the volunteer fighters there. So again, about a month ago, the ISIS element started digging trenches around Mosul for the purpose of countering any military operations to liberate the city from their grip, noting that elements are still digging trenches around the city to be connected to each other, and then calling them the Caliphate Wall. So again, this same source said ISIS is using Mosul's young men to build the wall, granting them financial rewards of up to 600 dinar, which is not a lot of money, while imposing punishments against those who refuse to participate. And on Wednesday, the Iraqi Air Force plans dropped leaflets on the city of Mosul to alert citizens that the zero hour is very close. So again, yesterday, Iraqi Air Force dropping leaflets around Nineveh and Mosul, letting the people know that it's about to be on like Donkey Kong. And I think that's what's going to happen. And I can't really imagine, after seeing the reports of the ISIS guys running away in drag the other day. Did we get to that yesterday in the national news or the international news? Bunch of ISIS dudes. Yeah, we totally did. Shaving their beards and dressing up in women clothes. Goofy stuff. I think that those dudes in Mosul are on borrowed time at this point. And I think they're going to skedaddle pretty soon. Okay. More news coming out of the UK. Just wanted to point this out because I found it a little bit startling. A revelation surfaced after a civil rights group there called Privacy International filed a legal challenge in 2014 questioning the hacking powers of the UK government intelligence agency, GCHQ. The legal challenge sought to examine allegations regarding the state-sponsored hacking uncovered by ex-NSA computer analyst and whistleblower Edward Snowden. PI subsequently obtained a court document penned by government lawyers in which the government outlined its own authority to infiltrate mobile phones, laptops, iPads, and networks used on a day-to-day basis. The privacy rights group made the decision to publish the document yesterday, and nestled deep within the body of this document is an admission that the UK intelligence services need authorization to hack into devices used by intelligence targets, but hold the power to infiltrate computers and mobile phones worldwide, irrespective of whether or not they are suspected of being linked to a criminal or terrorist threat. Again, internal documents now coming out from the GCHQ, essentially written by their own lawyers, saying we can basically hack into just about anything we want to at any time. There's nothing you can do about it. So that's what's going on with GCHQ. That is a long article, and I won't get much further into that. But that's what's going on. They basically can hack into your phones, and they don't care what you think. And is that par for the course? I think so. Also, I've got a very important safety tip coming out of Serbia right now. The officials in Serbia, the Serbian government there, has asked people this week not to dispose of their hand grenades or other munitions in the garbage can, because they are hoping to minimize accidents as it imposes tighter controls over privately held weapons. So apparently hundreds of thousands of unregistered arms, many stashed away after the years of war in the former Yugoslavia in the 1990s, are estimated to still be at large in the country with a population of about 7.3 million. That's in addition to the over 1 million registered weapons. So Parliament passed a law last month setting very strict conditions for owning firearms, including medical and psychiatric checks following a surge in gun-related crimes. Police can hand weapons into police under an amnesty that runs until June 4th, or they can face up to 5 years in jail for illegally possessing a weapon. But fearing people will just dump their weapons, the Interior Ministry issued a plea again on Tuesday. The ministry says, "We appeal to citizens not to dispose of hand grenades or explosive ordnances in garbage containers and such places. They should instead call the nearest police station, and officers will soon arrive as soon as possible to take the ordnance away." The police there told Reuters that they have no clear idea how many pieces are kept illegally, but estimates vary anywhere between 200,000 and 900,000. So again, the police there would like to get as many of them moved to amnesty as possible. But hey, you know, I'm just pointing that out. That's not just an important safety tip for the people in Serbia. That's an important safety tip for all of us. Just don't dispose of your hand grenades in the garbage can. That doesn't seem right. You know, I mean, that's okay. Anyway, moving on. But that really did. And according to Reuters, that was an actual statement, put out in Serbia yesterday. Just pointing that out. NATO patrol intercepted Russian fighters over the Baltic Sea, according to Lithuanian authorities. They said this on yesterday, as Moscow marks the anniversary of its takeover of Crimea with one of the largest military drills in years. The group of 8 Su-27s and Su-34 fighter jets and 3 Russian military transports were intercepted over international waters on Tuesday. How is it that they are intercepting these things over international waters? I thought the whole role of international waters was that you just go out there and fly around. I mean, it doesn't really matter what you're doing because you're not threatening anybody. Apparently, that wasn't the case here. So these were the first Russian fighters intercepted by NATO's Baltic Air Police this year, according to somebody whose name I can't pronounce. And that person also added that the Russian pilots switched off their transponders to avoid commercial air radar. So I guess maybe that's the point at which we decided to get involved, or by we, I mean NATO. Civil aviation over the Baltic Sea was endangered because of the secretive way the airships were flying. So a year after annexing Crimea from the Ukraine, Russia announced the start of military exercises on Monday involving warplanes, submarines, and more than 45,000 troops, and due to range from the Arctic all the way to the Black Sea. So we talked a little bit about that also. There you go. Moving away from the international news, we'll hop into some national stuff here right now. There's a pretty awful shooting that happened in the Phoenix, Arizona area yesterday. A gunman opened fire inside of a motel room in the Phoenix suburb of Mesa yesterday, killing one man and wounding 2 women. And then he shot 3 more people as he sought to elude a manhunt that ended in his capture. The suspect, who was not immediately identified by authorities, was subdued some 4 hours later after the initial shooting by officers using a stun gun at a vacant condominium where he had taken refuge. This is according to the Mesa police spokesman Esteban Flores. At this time, we believe he is responsible for each and every one of these shootings, according to Flores. Police said the motive for the rampage is still unclear, but the initial gunfire erupted following an argument at the motel. Everything else seems to be pretty much random at this point, according to Flores. We believe the motive at the other locations was robbery and carjackings and essentially just trying to get away. Local NBC affiliate 12 News showed the man being led out of a residential complex in a white full-body suit, his wrists shackled and taken to a local hospital. The full white body suit is usually something investigators use if they're going to try to protect his clothing for evidence. So one of the surviving victims was listed in critical condition at a Phoenix area hospital, according to police, and authorities again did not immediately release any information about the remaining victims. According to police, the violence began at the Tri-City Inn when the gunman opened fire on a man and 2 women following some kind of altercation. Described as a man in his 40s with a tattoo on his neck. Never trust anyone with a tattoo, ladies and gentlemen. And the shooter fled to a nearby restaurant where he shot and wounded a student while carjacking the man's vehicle. And the suspect then again drove to 2 nearby apartment complexes, shooting 1 person at each. And in all, 6 people were shot, including one who did pass away. Amazing they were able to take this guy into custody using only a stun gun, though. Seems like a good opportunity to wipe somebody out. Anyway, what else do we want to talk about? Oh, I should probably mention this whole Ferguson situation is still roiling there in that St. Louis suburb. But just yesterday, the Ferguson shooting suspect, okay, this guy Jeffrey Williams, he was the gentleman who allegedly had shot those 2 police officers, potentially in some kind of drive-by shooting. There was initial conjecture that he had been actually shooting after an altercation or after an incident with one of the other protesters and was potentially trying to shoot them. How he would have hit 2 police officers randomly seems a little bit unusual. But anyway, on Tuesday, the attorney for Jeffrey Williams, who's the suspect that we're talking about, claimed that not only had Williams not fired a weapon, but that his confession was made when he was in a great amount of pain after being physically abused by the police. So Gerald T. Christmas, who is the attorney for the 20-year-old, who was arrested Saturday night and charged with 2 counts of first-degree assault and 1 count of firing a weapon from a vehicle, told Yahoo News that Williams claims that he was in a tremendous amount of pain after he was pistol-whipped by police officers before being interrogated by detectives. He told them that he has never fired a weapon, and he also told his lawyer that under those circumstances, he believes that Williams would have said anything. So while the St. Louis police have called the accusation that Williams was abused completely false, Christmas points out the bruising on the right side of Williams' face in his mugshot, which is actually, yeah, pretty prominent if you go back and look at this guy's mugshot that they're putting up while they're talking about arresting him. So again, it's difficult to deny because he does have bruises all over his face in the mugshot. So Christmas told Yahoo News that the officers struck Williams in the face, neck, back, and head while arresting him at his girlfriend's house late Saturday night, and that he had a knock on the back of his head where he said that he was hit with the butt of a pistol. So if any of this, obviously, if any of these allegations are true, then that's going to take his confession right out of the works here. And also following Sunday night's press conference, journalists and activists took to Twitter and contested the claim that Williams was a quote-unquote regular protester. Activist DeRay McKennison actually wrote that he could not ever recall seeing Williams at any protest, including the night of the shooting. And journalist Matt Pierce wrote that judging from what he and other reporters remember, Williams was no mainstay day if he had ever protested at all. So again, I think we called this last week false flag or potentially a fictitious event, a nurtured event. You know, again, the protesters had 3 major wins last week. Who would benefit from keeping the agenda going in Ferguson? I don't know. I don't know. We got to go to a quick 3-minute break, guys. We have lots more news. When we come back, we'll have Lily Williams on in about a half an hour. Keep it right here, guys, from Redfield Reports. Happy to be here. Happy you guys are all here with us. Be right back.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at hemp. MyProductsUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine. Has a 100-year shelf life and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Hangar 18, your TFR Roundtable. Saturdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. Let's get into some more national news here right now. The U.S. Secret Service apparently has an alcohol problem, ladies and gentlemen. That is what the new director has now come in front of Congress. He went on Tuesday and said that his agents often drink, and he at the same time was looking for $8 million so that they could build a mock White House someplace to improve their training. So he basically went in front of Congress Tuesday, said, yes, my agents have a drinking problem right now. So Joseph Clancy, again, the tarnished agency's new boss, grilled by lawmakers, outraged over its latest embarrassing security lapse in which two senior agents drove into the White House barricades after a night of boozing, but were not even detained or given breathalyzer tests. So House Appropriations Committee members expressed disbelief over Clancy's acknowledgement that he did not even learn of the March 4th incident, in which the agents hit barricades and drove through an active investigation until 5 days later. He didn't hear about it for 5 days, stressing again that this was his first test since Barack Obama elevated him to director last month. Clancy admitted that he had yet to speak with the White House agent in charge at the time and citing the need for an independent inspector general's investigation to proceed without interference. He said the incident marked the latest of several missteps by the agency, which protects the president and other dignitaries, including a major security breach last September when an intruder barged into the White House wielding a knife. Lawmakers also appeared flabbergasted at Clancy's suggestion that changing Secret Service culture would take time as he seeks to earn agents' trust as their new chief. Even the House Republican Chris Stewart, this is a direct quote, he said, "Dude, you don't have to earn their trust. You're their boss." Is it unusual to me that we have House Republicans using words like "dude" when they're addressing one another? I mean, really? Anyway, he says they're supposed to earn your trust, and they haven't earned your trust. And the way you earn their trust is you hold them accountable. And the humble Clancy reportedly said, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, when confronted with withering bipartisan critiques, which only grew when he revealed that agents were coping with job demands by drinking. So anyway, Clancy also said his agency is seeking $8 million to construct a replica of the White House at a training facility in Maryland to provide a more realistic environment conducive to scenario-based training exercises. I think just fire everybody at that point. I mean, what a joke. You're talking about the director of the entire agency hasn't even heard about for 5 days. These guys driving through the barricades. Just crazy town. Crazy town. Glad we pay these guys so much money. Also, Illinois Republican Representative Aaron Schock announced his resignation on Tuesday following multiple reports regarding the congressman's deficient accounting practices and numerous controversial expenditures. In his statement, Schock said that that the questions about his spending have made it too difficult for him to continue to serve the 18th district. So again, he is stepping down. Multiple news outlets reported that Schock resigned without first holding a discussion with any Republican leaders, and Politico reported that Schock's purchases, including using office budget funds for the purpose of redecorating his congressional office to look similar to the set of the popular PBS show Downton Abbey, and using $15,000 of government funds to spend on private flights. These are all came under national scrutiny now. Schock has provided reimbursements to taxpayers and the government for some of his expenditures, but is now facing an investigation by the Office of Congressional Ethics. So when asked earlier this month if his spending may be in violation of federal regulations, Schock responded, "Well, I certainly hope not." And yeah, I guess he didn't hope hard enough, because it apparently looks like he was. Okay. Moving on here, what else is going on? Donald Trump announced plans yesterday to form a presidential exploratory committee. He says, I am the only one who can make America truly great again. He's a Republican businessman, reality television star. He declared this in a statement announcing the move. While a step short of a formal campaign launch, the formation of an exploratory allows him to begin raising money and hire staff as he weighs a White House bid. Trump says he had already hired political aides in Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina, which hosts the first three contests on the presidential nominating calendar. He says, I have great love for our country, but it is a country that is in serious trouble. He said that again in a wide-ranging statement that called for rebuilding the nation's infrastructure, providing border security, strengthening the military, and improving the economy. He says Americans deserve better than what they have gotten from their politicians, who are all talk and no action. He is also scheduled to appear in New Hampshire later this week. I imagine he will fire everybody, which is fine with me. Okay, here's something we got to do something about here, guys. I need you guys to get on board with this. This is a report that came out of Raw Story yesterday. There is a San Francisco church, is a Catholic church, that has reportedly now installed a watering system to discourage homeless people by drenching them in their sleep. Okay. KCBS reported that the no trespassing sign outside of the primary church for Archdiocese in San Francisco, which is St. Mary's Cathedral, did not mention what would happen to homeless people who tried to sleep under the cover of the building's doorway. At random times throughout the night, water pours from a hole in the ceiling about 30 feet above, drenching the alcove and anyone in it. The shower ran for about 75 seconds and every 30 to 60 minutes while people were there, starting just before sunset. So simultaneously in all four doors, KCBS witnessed it soak homeless people and all of their belongings. It's just stupid to me. Exactly. Kaiser Chief, you nailed it, man. Holy hell. This is especially, okay, first of all, it's in California. I'm kind of under the impression that there's a little drought going on there right now. Granted, San Francisco, maybe they're not quite as bad off as, the southern part of the country, but, exactly. Is this what Jesus would do? Jesus would douse homeless people with water in the middle of the night to discourage them from, trying to seek shelter? Unbelievable. So anyway, here you go. The name again of the church is St. Mary's Cathedral. It is in San Francisco. It is the primary church for Archdiocese there. I would highly, highly recommend giving these people a phone call and maybe an email, maybe do some picketing, because this is disgusting and I don't want to live in a country. It's bad enough when grocery stores in the UK are starting to put spikes outside to keep people from laying down there. But I mean, drenching people with water at night, especially, you could kill somebody. I mean, you could give somebody hypothermia. You're also ruining the only bit of integrity that these people possibly could have. It's just disgusting. And the fact that it would be a Catholic church doing that. Yeah, so if you're in San Francisco, let's go get these people. Let's get involved and do something about that, because that really bums me out. Okay, let's move on to some financial news and figure out where we're at with the markets right now. The Dow is currently down 119 points, a little over 0.5%. So we're sitting at 17, 9, 5, and 8 S&P, following also down, 2,079. The dollar index, man, I'll tell you what, something happened yesterday. First of all, Yellen came out and made her little speech. Is it just me, or has anybody decided, or does anybody think we need to check Janet Yellen to see if she's had a stroke? I mean, to listen to the woman talk, I'm not trying to be rude, but to listen to the woman talk is arduous, to say the least. It's like, holy cow, I'm fundamentally wondering if she's had some kind of minor stroke just listening to the way she speaks. But anyway, she came out, they did the new policy statement, obviously, yesterday, and they dropped the word patient. That's the big news that came out yesterday. So everybody freaked out, panic buying. She came out, dropped the word patient. She also came back out in the news later on in the day and said, just because we removed the word patient doesn't mean we're going to be impatient. So figure that out. First of all, just more head fakery coming from Janet Yellen. I wonder if she knows which way is even up anymore. But anyway, that's what's going on there. So that announcement came out. Obviously, the markets took off yesterday. And so crazy panic buying happened yesterday. Oil spiked yesterday evening about 6% because the Fed said that the economy was slowing. That makes sense. And then the stocks went up yesterday again because the Fed said the economy is slowing down. The U.S. dollar strength, obviously a signal of the strength of the U.S. economy, which the Fed said is now slowing. But small caps hit record highs because, well, the Fed said that the economy is slowing. NASDAQ topped 5,000 also, probably because the Fed said the economy is slowing. So apparently, I'm taking crazy pills. I mean, really fundamentally, that's what it looks like right now. The panic buying that went on yesterday after the press conference was ridiculous, ridiculous. The volatility index clubbed like a baby seal. I mean, crazy, crazy town. And then something happened after the bell last night. I don't know what it was. I haven't been able to figure this out. But the Forex moves that went down after the bell were crazy town. I'm talking the dollar actually crashed. I mean, in a pretty big way, the dollar index flash crashed after the bell last night. The euro climbed crazy high. I mean, all of the Forex markets after the bell last night went absolutely insane. And still really don't have any idea what's going on with that. But something was happening. I have a feeling people were covering some euro shorts overnight while they could. But again, euro right now at 106, so it is down again about 2% today, which corresponds to the 2% rise that the dollar index is doing. So we're at 99 and 41 on the on the dollar index. Gold has picked up quite a bit again. Panic buying we're seeing in gold and silver. Gold up more than 1.5% at 1170. Silver up almost 4% today, $16.13 big pennies. Will get you an ounce of silver. And let's check out what oil is doing. I believe, yeah, oil down also over 1.5%. Interestingly enough though, okay, so I'm sorry, oil down 1.5%, 45 and 97, so just about $46 for oil right now, on the crude side. Copper also jumping 4% overnight, which is pretty substantial, 266, be saving your old pennies there, guys. I really agree with that. Shark just put in the chat room that she thinks Janet Yellen would do a great Saturday Night Live skit. I completely agree with that. Oh, it's awful. We gotta get off. I gotta stop making fun of Janet Yellen. Truth, are you in there, man? I don't have a BDI for everybody today, so if you could find that, that would be super awesome. Also, some pretty big news coming out of Greece right now. Well, let me preface this again by just reminding everybody the new gold fix takes place tomorrow. So we're like less than 12 hours away from the new super secret gold fix. MLBA will not even tell us who the participants are going to be. Obviously, it's going to be focused in China. And they're saying that there's not going to be a really big movement in the price of gold. But that doesn't make any sense to me because we're going from a super secret, you know, four banker dudes talking twice a day to supposedly an electronic, open, transparent 24-hour system. How could that not result in a complete shakeup of the gold markets? I don't know. But I just want to point out that's supposed to happen tomorrow. We also have the beginning of the Nissan year starting tomorrow, the big eclipse. There's a lot of things going on right now. Just saying, a lot of things going on. And so I got a special message for the Greek readers right now, or the Greek listeners, I should say. The writing is pretty much on the wall here for you guys in Greece. In a very clear 48-point double bold and is underlined font. When the ECB, the European Central Bank, leaks, which happened today, leaked that it is modeling a Greek exit, something that Draghi has lied about over and over in 2012 and directly to everyone's faces, we should probably take this very seriously because it's time to start planning about what happens on the day after. And incidentally, to those who are curious about what the fair value of the peripheral European bonds is once you remove the ECB backstops, well, the ECB has done a quick, very convenient back-of-the-cocktail-napkin type calculation here. 95% loss. That's what they're talking about. So you remove the ECB backstops from the Greek crisis, you're looking at a 95% loss. And that's actually from a back-of-the-envelope calculation from the ECB. So also makes the punchline pretty clear here because while the ECB is making it very clear that what happens next in the case of a Grexident or Grexit, is it has yet to provide an explanation about how it will resolve the billions of dollars of Greek debt held on its own balance sheet, which are about to be marked to default. So again, information now coming out that the ECB itself is modeling for doomsday, essentially, right now. And also, should be pointed out that if Greece decides to leave, Greece has come out and said pretty specifically that Italy will also follow, probably Portugal as well, and if not Spain. So the fact that the ECB is modeling and they're throwing up numbers like a 95% loss of value for Greek bondholders, boy, that's significant. And we're talking, I mean, that will be the unraveling if it does go forward. Also, more news out of Sweden. The Swedish Central Bank took its key interest rate further into negative territory yesterday in a surprise move, another surprise move from Switzerland aimed at supporting its return to inflation. It's always this target 2% inflation that everybody is trying to go for. But the Riksbank cut its repo rate by another 0.15%, bringing it down to a 0.25% negative, and said that it was buying government bonds worth 30 billion kroner, or about €3.2 billion, to prevent an appreciation in krona from hindering an uptick in inflation. So again, Sweden is a member of the European Union, but not of the Eurozone. So it retains control via its central bank of its own monetary policy and interest rates. Inflation has been seen close to zero in Sweden since late 2012. And in February, it was at 0.1%, far below the target of the 2% total. The bank said the weakening trend had bottomed out and inflation was beginning to rise, but that the rising of the krona up 5% against the euro in the last month could halt the increase. So again, more negativer. We're going more negativer on the interest rates in Sweden right now. Obviously, signs of good things to come. Also, this I thought was a little weird coming out of France. France is going to be stepping up monitoring of cash payments, withdrawals, and small bank accounts to better fight against the financing of terrorism, according to the finance minister, Michael Sapin. He said this yesterday. So just 2 months after the Islamist gunman killed 17 people, allegedly against the satirical weekly and Jewish food store in Paris, he says it's necessary to fight against the use of cash and anonymity in the French economy. Scary, scary stuff here. Warning, red flag, danger, slippery slope. The attack did not cost the perpetrators very much and were partly financed by cash, consumer loans, and the trafficking of counterfeit goods, according to officials there. So from September onwards, people who live in France will not be allowed to make payments of more than 1,000 euro in cash, which is now down from 3,000 euro. The cap for foreign visitors, left higher for reasons that include facilitating tourism, will be cut to 10,000 euros from 15,000 euros. So any cash deposit or withdrawal of more than 10,000 euros over a single month will automatically be signaled to the TRACFIN Anti-Fraud and Money Laundering Agency. The authorities will have to be notified over transfers more than 10,000 euros, for instance, checks, prepaid cards, or gold by freight within the EU. Someone charging more than 1,000 euros in cash into another currency will also have to show an identity card, down from a previous threshold of 8,000 euros. The government will also increase controls on prepaid cards and add mini bank accounts to the national banking database. Wow. So tightening the reins on the little guy inside of France. And if you are like me and believe that that whole Charlie Hebdo thing was another nurtured event or perhaps even a full-blown false flag, you know, the question always that follows is that, well, what would have been their motivation? So it's always important to pay attention to what legislation these people are trying to pass immediately after incidents like that. And crampening down on the old bank accounts, especially in small transactions, that's pretty significant to me. So I just wanted to point that out as well. And also Fannie and Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are also in the news right now. You know, obviously taxpayers pumped over $200 billion into Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac after the financial collapse in 2008, while the Obama government used taxpayer-subsidized loans to move large quantities of foreclosed housing inventory from the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and into big investment funds. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were again busy ballooning their mortgage holders, their mortgage holdings. So now the Inspector General of the Federal Housing Finance Agency has issued a stark warning that both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are headed for another bailout, which really isn't that surprising. But this is what he said. He said, future profitability is far from assured. Again, this is the Inspector General of the Federal Housing Finance Agency, said this in a report. He says, pointing out that the firms could again chalk up losses on their derivatives portfolios, similar to those reported in the fourth quarter. This increases the likelihood of additional treasury investments. So similar to when Fannie was plugged full of derivatives under former CEO Franklin Raines, who, by the way, had no clue how catastrophic the situation was and should be in jail, but instead received a $100 million you're fired severance agreement. The government has once again looked the other way while Wall Street unloaded another avalanche of derivatives onto Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Once again, the taxpayers most likely will be having to pay for this. Or, Eric, you're totally correct, man. Too big to fail. This is not a warning. This is a get ready, here it comes type of statement. The fact that most of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's profitability has been driven down by the same fraudulent mark-to-model accounting that has generated the most of the big bank's profits since 2009. Again, Fannie Mae's CEO warned of the possibility of another bailout in February after announcing the Fannie Mae's smallest dividend payment to the Treasury in more than 4 years. So again, this is not a warning. This is an inevitability. The housing market most likely will be collapsing again. All indicators are there right now. So Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, too big to fail. It's a good thing we're all here to protect them. Also, let's see here. Is this important? Oh, the IMF came out and said that the worst client they've ever had is Greece, basically. So relations between Greece and the Eurozone obviously deteriorating rapidly in the last few weeks, with recriminations on both sides as German finance ministers warn again of a possible Grexit. The IMF was reportedly describing Greece as its most unhelpful client ever. The International Monetary Fund officials have told Eurozone colleagues that Greece is the most unhelpful country and the organization has ever dealt with in its 70-year history, according to Bloomberg. In a short, ill-tempered conference on Tuesday, fund officials complained that Greece was not adhering to the $254 billion bailout extension deal reached in February or cooperating with its creditors. Is that surprising? No, of course not. Anyway, Wall Street Journal reports that according to the EU officials, there is a general feeling that the Greek side is completely out of touch with reality. So I still think we're not out of the woods on this Greece thing yet. I think they've kicked that can a little bit further down the road. But we'll have to see what exactly is going to happen next. Also, Saudi Arabia made some statements yesterday that knocked the WTI down. Saudi Arabia's statement said that they will not soon interfere with the oil market. That was Prince Turkey saying that. Oil market will fix itself. Another statement that Saudi Arabia, Prince Turkey said. And also Saudi will continue the line taken at the OPEC meeting. So again, we're going to see, and this is after we had the thing about Alan Greenspan coming out saying essentially the United States is running out of a place to put all this oil, because we're just still pumping it out of the ground. So again, oil prices probably set to fall even further, and Saudi Arabia does not seem to care. So we'll move away. That was pretty much everything from the economic side of the coin. We'll go over into some tech news here real quick. Verizon getting hit with a pretty big fine right now, $3.4 million, because they had a 6-hour 911 outage in which nearly 750,000 California residents would not have been able to reach an emergency call center had they been able to dial 911 on their mobile phones. Those 6 hours of it being down will cost Verizon $3.4 million. The problem in a Verizon-run 911 system resulted in outage, which affected 9 counties in California, and Verizon is required by law to report outages within 30 minutes of a problem, but officials did not hear about the April outage until it was resolved. So after the investigation, the FCC reached a settlement with Verizon designed to improve 911 call center reliability and the outage reporting process. So Verizon is also fined for the oversight. Of course, Verizon blames it on a subcontractor, but when you are working with subcontractors, you're still on the hook. So that's what happened there. I wanted to point this out too. We talk a little bit about the 3D printing and how freaking rad it is. There was a story a couple weeks ago about Eric Harrell. He lives in Santa Cruz, California. He 3D printed an entire Toyota 22RE engine. True story. He really did it. It's a scaled down version, but it operates. It actually works. So he decided to take it a step further. Now he has made, and I'm not kidding, on his desktop 3D printer, a working transmission for that Toyota engine. He made a complete transmission out of parts, assembled it, put it together with the engine, and the whole thing works. So I've got so much faith in the future in terms of 3D technology printing, and especially with the, the one that we talked about yesterday, the super duper high tech 3D with the liquid and the light, and I don't remember how it works or what it's called, but it was pretty amazing. You can probably go back and look at yesterday's show and find that out. But that's what's going on there. Okay, is this an interesting story? No, not really. You know, Windows is giving away Windows 10 right now. Windows 10, yeah, they're giving it away for anybody who wants it as a free upgrade. I'm going to stay as far away from it as possible, just pointing that out. Somebody asking in the chat room, where does all the fine money go? That's a great question. So you're talking about fines to places like Verizon? Well, those probably go back to the FCC to be distributed into their buddies' pockets. I don't know, but none of that, you know, you never ever hear about some of these big bank fines, you know, actually mattering to the people. I mean, who, you talk about like UBS and HSBC, all these people, there's a lot of stuff going on actually with the, with all the Forex scandal and all of the manipulation scandals right now. They're digging right back into that stuff right now. I think they're getting ready to refute some of the settlement offers. And I don't know. There seems to be a big deal going on with all of the manipulation, precious metals and the Forex trading and all that stuff. I was starting to read some articles this morning saying that they're going to be diving back into that. But again, where do those fines go? They go nowhere. They go back to the, you know, the Federal Reserve or wherever, but they don't ever come down to us. So it's essentially just a stupid slap on the wrist. But anyway, what kind of plastic do the 3D printers use? I don't know. It wasn't actually in the article, but it would have to be pretty darn tough as far as I can tell, Lunane. But I think he's just doing scaled down models right now in terms of what he's able to do. But just the idea that then they could use all that stuff, mill it all out on metal and be able to build a working transmission. I don't know. I find that to be just totally fascinating. And if I had a bunch of money, that would be something I would want to invest in. Speaking of investment, I got to point this out. The China Three Gorges Corporation has officially wrapped up construction on the first wind farm in Pakistan. So this is part of a vigorous effort by the state-owned renewable energy giant to expand into the South Asian market. The total investment for the Three Gorges wind farm in Pakistan was $130 million for the creation of a totally installed capacity of 49 megawatts. Again, so I wanted to point this out just because it's interesting to me to see China developing infrastructure now in the Middle East, because it obviously is going to change the political landscape of the Middle East, because we're not just going to be able to go do drone strikes around, you know, Pakistan at this point, because China is going to be there trying to protect its own infrastructure as their investment projects continue. So again, just more signs that things are changing, that this whole Asian investment bank is taking hold. I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. It's going to be certainly interesting. We got to go to a 3-minute break. When we come back, we will have Lily Williams on the show, and you guys are going to really like this. We'll get away from some of these crazy news articles and talk about Common Core and what's actually going on in our country. So keep it right here, guys. We'll be back. 3 minutes. Happy to have you.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
Real people. Real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. And thank all of you guys who are in the chat room at Truth Frequency right now. Wow, we have a full crowd in there. Love having you guys in there. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us this morning. We are bringing again to the table another fantastic guest this week, and I really am excited to be introducing all of you to Miss Lily Tang Williams. For those of you guys who don't know Lily, I want to first encourage you to go to her website, which is Lily for Liberty, Lily, L-I-L-Y, four, the number four, and the word Liberty, which I'm sure all of you can spell, .com, and you will be able to find out everything you could possibly want to know about this very remarkable young lady. Now, she grew up in China, guys. She grew up in the Sichuan province near Tibet. She was raised with her two sibling brothers by an illiterate working-class parent. She grew up poor, facing very poor conditions, food rationing, political and social chaos. And in that tumultuous environment, she quickly developed both street smarts and compassion, as well as the values of perseverance and hard work. And at 17, she graduated top of her high school class and placed near the top of the national exams, which are held once each year for 3 8-hour days. Wow, that's grueling. She did well enough that she was able to, she was one of only three students from her province of 80 million people to be accepted to Fudan University, the law school that year, one of China's top five universities. She received her university law degree at Fudan in Shanghai, practiced law, and joined a law facility at Fudan. She came over to the United States in 1998, earning a master's degree at the University of Texas in Austin, School of Social Work with a minor in administration and planning. And after her master's degree, she worked with troubled youth from dysfunctional families in, Iverson Memorial Hospital and Wyoming Home Healthcare Center in Laramie, Wyoming. This woman has done more than I can even shake a stick at, ladies and gentlemen, and I could probably go on and on. But most importantly, she has made the transition. She grew up in China and she has come here. And she's also a very, very outspoken critique of Common Core. So we are definitely very privileged to be welcoming Lily Williams to the stage today. Lily, thank you for joining us on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
Well, thank you for having me, Katie.
Well, it is my distinct pleasure to have you, young lady. And so I think where we should start today, because of your very unique perspective growing up in China, I think most people will be very curious to find out how your upbringing in China changed your perspective about the world and what that perspective looks like now that you're here. So if you want to start with that story, I think we'd all be very interested, Lily.
Well, like what you mentioned about my background brought back my memories. I was born right before the Cultural Revolution. Now, I went through 10 years Mao's Cultural Revolution in schools. You know, that environment was just, it's 100% control, 100% communist. You know, we would start first grade and the teachers would make us to chant, to say all the revolutionary slogans. So we would chant, long live Chiang Mai Mao, long live Communist Party.
Right.
And I love my motherland, I love Chiang Mai Mao. And, It was, of course, all public schools, no other choices at all.
Hmm.
And we, of course, our teachers had to stick to the party guideline, what to teach us. We did the math, we did the Chinese, but we also had once a week for an elementary school student political study group.
Really?
It's all indoctrination. Once you go to middle school, high school, then it's mandatory you take one of the subjects called the political science,
mm-hmm.
which is the party correctness. But I started as a very young kid in elementary school. We were required to write diaries, and then we had to turn over diaries for our teacher to review.
Whoa.
In our diaries, we're supposed to do criticism of ourselves, of our families, of anybody we know, if they are not politically correct. I quickly learned that, oh, that's not really a private diary. You better,
right.
you know, learn what to not write in there. And I learned my first lesson, be conforming to the rest of the culture and group. I was first grade, and everybody is trying their hardest to get into Young Pioneer, which is a grassroots communist organization. And, you know, you have Communist Party, and then you have a Communist Youth Group.
Right.
And for the young people, and then you have a Red Guard for the high school and middle school, and then Young Pioneers for elementary school. So it's like a politically privileged to be accepted to join that group. I got a little bit cocky. I told my friends that I bet I'll be the first group to join because my grades were so good. And
right.
I had 100% on each subject. Guess what? That so-called friend reported to teacher about what I said. My teacher had a private meeting with me to say, you're not being humble and you do not conform to the rest of the, you know, like a big group, and you were supposed to be humble, not to be individualistic and expressing your own opinions.
Wow.
He said, I'm going to hold you back. So you're not going to join as a first group and to make you to learn this lesson. I was speechless. I was only 7 years old.
That's crazy.
I was natural born, just kind of individualistic and very confident.
Mm-hmm.
And I was speechless. I said, okay, I will learn my lesson. So if you look at my website, those pictures, there's one picture of me in the elementary school sitting in the front row in the corner looking depressed. No red scarf on my white shirt, where my other friend in the first row had a red scarf. We all had to sit there, hold our hands, put our both hands back, and sit straight. Anyway, they require us to sit like that. In the elementary school, you put your hands back to show that you are really concentrating in the class. You cannot put your hands on the table or touch other things.
Right?
Yeah, it's that strict. And so I learned very quickly, this is the society we live in. I need to adapt. I need to do well because I'm very competitive. I want to do well. And I had no problem after that. About 1 year later, I joined. Now I'm always a top student, so I've become top leaders, and I joined the Red Guard and all the other groups, no problem. But that lesson I never forgot. It's like, okay, you cannot be a nail standing out. You will get hammered down in that society.
Right.
Yeah. So so many years later, I still remember that very, very clearly in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's what communism is. Communism is not about your individual attitude, your individual characteristics. It's all about government-controlled, like, centralized education, one-size-fits-all. You know, either you conform to their requirement or you'll be hammered down. It's
right.
One-size-fits-all.
Is it still that way today? Have they gotten any more lax, or is it more controlling today?
I think in terms of economical reform, China really become a little bit more open to free market, and they're practicing so-called free market with Chinese socialist characteristics, and people are getting richer. But our school system still fundamentally the same. There's still centralized, top-down government control in all public schools. They are starting to allow some private schools now.
Okay.
But most people cannot afford it. They're still subject to this one, you know, government size fits all. And they're testing because they think, oh, we have national standards, so we have national assessment. and then national curriculum. And they still have to take a political science as one of the required subjects, which is the national indoctrination. But the people now are more focused on science, math, because now their focus is becoming either you graduate, you're going to work for government, or you're going to work for government enterprises or some private companies. So you're part of the workforce. You need to be ready. So it's one size fits all in that sense. You have to be either working for the government or working for corporations, and you need to be ready. And there's no individualized study or education plan. Our teachers have to comply from the state government all the way from Beijing, the Department of Education, like what you call it. We call it Department Minister. So you have to comply. And we still have once a year, 3 days, national college exams. And we still teach to the test. Students have a tremendous pressure in high school. If you have a once a year test coming up to decide your future, if you're going to go to 4 years college or not, that's the only way to be enrolled in 4 years college. You better really study hard and prepare for the test.
Mm-hmm.
So what I heard now is the pressure is even worse than I was growing up because competition is worse. You have a lot more young people.
Right.
And you study to test. And in high school last year, you basically don't have any learning anymore. You just practice test. They are like machines now. They call in the summer, they even pay extra money to go to this countryside near Shanghai called the college test preparation factory. You go to that factory, pay lots of money. That's all you do. They get rid of your cell phone, your iPad, get rid of all the personal entertainment stuff. You study to test every day. Oh, it was like almost like slavery. I read the story, and I was thinking to myself, well, since I was so poor, my parents were so poor, I could never make to that school. It costs like your parents like win your salary or something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fail, you feel like life is over. You better just go somewhere to become a construction manual worker. If you are in the countryside, you can never go to cities. It's a tremendous pressure. I wonder why you hear people commit suicide either before or after the test.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm afraid that the Common Core is going to make our kids study to test and teachers to teach to the test. When you do that all the time, JD, you are not free to think freely with your mind because you don't have time.
Absolutely. And that's, to me, one of the biggest concerns right now is that, you know, with the United States education system, we're not teaching kids how to think anymore. We're trying to teach them what to think. We're making them, you know, consume something and then regurgitate it on a piece of paper and a certain, you know, criteria is met and then they're checked off of a list and that's it. But people aren't encouraged to think outside of the box or to come up with actual problem solving techniques to figure out what's actually going on, you know? And I think you're right. I want to talk about the transition, you know, between you coming to the United States, kind of what you expected to find and what you did find. And then now you're starting to see the Common Core come in. And is it reminding you quite a bit about the system that you left there in China?
Well, I did not know much about Common Core until last year. I ran for Colorado House as Libertarian. I did the research on lots of major issues. I have been heard about Common Core, but did not know the detail of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started digging into the substance, the detail of it. And the more I dig into it, the more scared I become. And because that really started to bring me my old education in China, I said, this is America. You know, we are individual liberty, individualistic society. We have rights guaranteed by Constitution. And the federal government has no business in education. Why are they doing this? So I start digging into the history of the education and the agenda of the government. And now they got the private corporations involved with tons of money from Bill Gates, from Pearson, from U.S. Chamber of Commerce. All those business people, big business and big government are pushing this.
Mm-hmm.
But then where are the parents? Where are the students? They call the state standards. So were you part of it to give input? Bill Gates said that we will not know if this will work for another 10 years. So our kids become like a guinea pigs for experiment. And during the whole process, then the private corporations are positioned to make billions of dollars. And the government is going to have total control and push down our throat what your kids should be learning in school, maybe even how many hours they should be learning, how many tests they'll be taking. and the teacher's evaluation will be tied to the test scores. It's just like China, right?
Mm-hmm. It's
government pushes down on you. Parents have no saying, no local control. Teachers get fired if you speak up. It's like, what is going on in this country? And it is very scary if people like you still think this is a state standard because started by Governors Association, which is a private group, but then, and they own the Common Core, but then who is designed the Common Core standards and who got hired to write the test?
Mm-hmm.
All intellectual elite and bureaucrats and private corporations. We have a big war to fight because we're fighting, you know, big government with the big corporation money and with non-profits and educational foundations all benefit from this huge, they call it huge, human capital market. So
Oof.
Our kids become a human capital market. We you know, it's like you cannot be naive to believe, oh, that's going to improve our education standard. Look at what happened in Child Left Behind. It all started like 2002 by George W. Bush. It spent billions of our taxpayers' money. And where are our kids now? No evidence to show it works. And plus, philosophically, I'm opposed to education controlled by central government. The local, the better. I would even prefer state government does not control this. And
right.
Leave to local school boards and the parents. Because it was, you know, they said, oh, we care about your kids. Oh, yes, what are their names? You know who they are?
Great question.
I don't buy that.
Right.
That's a communist system. They think that your children do not belong to you. Your children belong to the state. That's exactly what Karl Marx said. As soon as the baby is old enough to leave mother's care, we should put them all in state institutions. And that's why I'm so scared, JD. This country has gone down to the path of communism, socialism,
yes.
fascism for so long. I've been here for 26 years, and it just got worse and worse. So I feel like it's my duty as a new citizen of this great country to speak up, to educate my fellow Americans, because they did not live through communism. They did not live through the tyranny, but I did. And I'm the witness of history, and I'm warning people, you got to get involved now. I know people are busy with their lives. They got to bring the mm-hmm. bread to the table. They work hard. But what could be more important than your freedom and your kids' freedom? If you do that, it doesn't matter how much money you make. Like Chinese citizens today, they have become rich. They can become millionaires and billionaires. But when you don't have your political freedom, government controls, power enough controls everything, you are still slave.
Mm-hmm.
That's my message to people. You are still slaves.
Well, and you know, one of the things that really concerns me about the Common Core issue too is that it to me seems to fall down on the agenda of separating, breaking up the family unit. You know, I've got a lot of friends here in Missouri. Missouri is kind of becoming one of these battlegrounds for Common Core for sure. We're actually starting to make some pretty good progress here, but a lot of my friends who are teachers are very, very concerned because the students cannot go home and get help from their parents. You know, it used to be that you could go home if you were, you know, 9 or 10 years old with your math program or your math homework, and your dad or your mom could help you out. You know, they could understand what was going on and give you some answers. But that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. We see time and time again that that more parents are kind of throwing their hands up in the air and not able to help their kids progress through this Common Core system. So we're seeing, again, the more division inside of the family, which to me is part of this whole agenda. What do you think?
It is a part of a bigger agenda.
Mm-hmm.
The national tests are designed for your kids to fail. Remember the famous saying that don't let any crisis to go away? If you design a test system to make our students fail and the parents cannot be part of it to help them, then we got a crisis. We got to get more government involvement. We got to get more taxpayers' money coming to, you know, solve this problem. It's all man-made, manufactured crisis because
mm-hmm.
I don't buy it that, oh, Americans are so far behind China, aging countries, and in math. Do not forget, Chinese is a very homogeneous society. And the test scores you say are from Shanghai, which is the highest academic standards city in whole China. Do you want to go take test scores from Chinese mountain village kids?
No.
They don't even have money to go to school. America is a diverse society. You have different minorities. You have immigrants coming here all the time, even don't speak English. And you have kids who are very different. and some like school, some don't. So I will not worry about, oh, our tech school international are so behind. It's a manufacturing crisis. Guess what? China has zero Nobel Prize winners in science and in medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States is ranked number one. So where did Americans get all that education, innovation, creativity from? From their education. And China, zero, because they were trained as test takers, machines, cheap global force workers. They don't have any creativity. They don't have time. They don't have the brain left to challenge authority, to think outside the box. Is that what we want from America? You're going to kill innovation, creativity by this doing this common core. Because kids will be just like a cookie cutter box fitters. And the parents cannot help them. And the teachers are going to indoctrinate them because they have to, otherwise they lose their jobs. You got to look at this new college board, AP U.S. History Framework. We used to teach our kids about our founding fathers and American heroes, MLK, capitalism, entrepreneurship. This new college board, which is a private organization, but its president appointed by Obama, Dave Coleman, was one of the major architects of Common Core standards.
Really?
And they come out with this new framework. They are not teach our high school, which is the best students, the brightest students take AP US history class. They don't teach them to be Americans anymore. All that things I mentioned to you, founding fathers, American exceptionalism, capitalism, MLK, I have a dream speech, Holocaust, D-Day, all those critical historical facts will be not emphasized and it will be gone. Some did not mention at all.
Wow.
So think about 10 years from now when those kids are productive citizens in the society. How would they think? How will they act? If they even don't think of this country is an exceptional country, and we're just part of a multiculturalism, we're just part of a global new order, then we are in real danger. That's why you have a famous quote from Abraham Lincoln. The philosophy of a school today will be philosophy of your government, next generation. So if you raise kids without critical mind thinking skills, without knowing constitution, founding fathers, are they still going to be Americans? I really doubt that. I want to tell people that the Declaration of Independence, America's U.S. Constitution are the two critical documents
yes.
convinced me to come to this country instead of going to Europe. Because I really love those beautiful words, you know, written by our founding fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, they're going to protect me forever. And this is a young country. And based on that two documents, I come to this country. But now I'm facing danger of people don't rate them, not educated about them. And now trying to change them and trying to forget about them. I see real threat and real danger to the individual freedom and liberty I come this country for.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I've been telling people now, you are American citizen. Do you know your constitution? Do you know your rights? Do you just let your government take away your rights without fight? And that's what I'm saying. Hey, this is land of free and home of brave. Where are you brave Americans?
We're
you know,
home.
No, I'm the Chinese immigrant screaming here.
Yeah, we're at home watching football. I mean, that's the long and the short of it is that we've got better things to do and everybody is super comfortable because we all have our air conditioning and we all have our TV dinners and there's nothing wrong out there. I don't know what you're talking about. Plus, the other side of the coin here and the reason that I really am excited that you came onto the show today, Lily, to talk about Common Core is because, you know, Common Core, although it is insidious and it is absolutely part of this agenda of control and breaking up the nuclear family, it isn't an issue that everybody is presented with. You know, if you're a grandparent or somebody out there that doesn't have kids and has no idea that this stuff is going on, obviously the situation with unemployment and there could be, you know, Obamacare, there could be a whole slew of other issues that you might be more concerned about than Common Core. But again, there's all of these issues that are like this, like the mandatory vaccination issues, like all of these aspects of this agenda that are coming down. But I think part of the agenda also is overwhelming all of us all the time. You know, we're constantly being told this is happening and that is happening and oh my God, there's terrorists and we're going to die tomorrow and there's going to be an EMP and the economy. You know what I mean? It's like there's a constant
yes, right.
something going on that makes people up in the air. And that's, I think, Common Core although, again, it is insidious. It's just one of those issues that's kind of skirting along underneath the radar. So I'm really glad that we're focusing on it right now, because I think it does encapsulate, you know, a portion of this larger agenda to continue to control people. And I really appreciate your perspective as somebody who has kind of seen what the end game already looks like and left it. And now you're starting to see the slippery slope that we're on descending us back into the place you already left.
Well, this issue is very dear to me. We can try and repair Obamacare. We can try and lower taxes, grow jobs. And don't let the government distract you. Our biggest threat overseas with ISIS, with radical Islam, and we can deal with that. But the biggest threat, what is really threatening me, is this ever out of control, increasingly intrusive for our own government at home. Because, you know, just like you said, there are so many issues distract us. And the people are not educated because of they took advantage of that way. They are very sleepy to, you know, just push this down our throats while you're busy and not pay attention. Look, Common Core was designed, already pushed down in 2010. And I go out, walk to, you know, parents, do you have a kid? Do you have a kid in school? Do you know about Common Core? I will tell you 50% people still don't know,
yeah,
including my own neighbors.
Right.
I just passed her a whole bunch of package to tell them you got to refuse to test. Here's what's going on. They said, oh, Lily, we had no idea. And I saw they were on Facebook with me, so I saw they saw my post. But the thing is, though, that first of all, government knows if you are educated and you rise up, speak up, and protest, then they cannot push down their agenda on us. So they always do it the way. First of all, make it sound wonderful. It's called a Common Core State Standards. And
right.
Secondly, well, taxpayers' money, welcome to improve our education and help the lower income, especially the kids, and just more and more money to improve our education, to be competitive. But they all make government strategies, always make everything they do sounds wonderful.
I know.
But
it's
then,
Orwellian.
You're not part of it.
Yeah, it's this Orwellian thing. They really got the 1984 techniques down pretty well. Lily, we've got to go to a quick 3-minute break. We're going to go to this break and we'll come back, and I want to talk to you a little bit more about the origin of Common Core and what we can do about this and how we can support you. I do recommend people go to lilyforliberty.com. And also, if you go to our Facebook page, redpillreports.com, Lily for Liberty is a friend of ours on our Facebook page, so you can find her there as well as also under the show section on redpillreports.com, all of the links to Lily's Twitter account, her Facebook page, and as well as her website. So please go support her. We're going to go to this 3-minute break. We'll be right back, guys. 3 minutes. Keep it right here.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine.
including all heavy metals.
We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine now. Only at hempusa.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
The Kev Baker Show, Monday through Friday, True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. We are entering our final segment today with our guest, Lily Williams. You can find her at lilyforliberty.com. She's also very active on Facebook and Twitter, and I would highly recommend especially finding her on Facebook under Lily for Liberty, because she's a very active poster on that forum. And again, very excited to have her here today. We're talking about Common Core and about our slippery slope as we're sliding towards communism, apparently, in this country. And again, you don't have to look that far to figure that out. But I'm very glad that Lily, who grew up in China, is able to come here now and say, wow, you guys are really starting to get near the edge here. And so I want everybody to do everything they can to support her in this initiative to kill Common Core, basically. But Lily, with everything that's going on right now, how do we stop this? How do we, you know, what do we do in terms of getting together and ending this Common Core initiative in its totality?
Well, first of all, if you states have signed up to take a park testing or this nationalized, assessment test, you have a right as parent to fill in a refusal form and give to your school to say, I do not want my children to take this test. Because through this computer-generated test, you have no idea beforehand. Even teachers, schools have no idea what's in it. And they ask a very intrusive question. The more reports start to come out. They also collect your children's data. And not just kid data, and the kids who live with you in your house. Like, there's a question for fourth grader in math. This has nothing to do with math. They ask a question, how many bedrooms do you have in your house?
What?
Do you sleep alone? Do you sleep alone in your house? What kind of question is that? It makes parents really, blood pressure goes up. Like, what are they trying to do? It's a fourth grader question. Very intrusive. So if you can opt your children, refuse to test them in your school, do that first. And secondly, you got to go to your local school board meetings, your state educational board meetings, and then call your representative at the state level and your congressman at the federal level. In Colorado right now, we are fighting really hard because they're trying to compromise between two parties to make a deal to say, oh, maybe we can reduce the tax. Our principle is that get out of Common Core and this kind of park testing 100%, no compromise. Any compromise is evil. But at the federal government level, you got to pressure your congressman to say, Next sunset, no child left behind. There are bills in the House and in the Senate. They're trying to reauthorize it with more federal dollars. They make it sounds wonderful. You will have a state rights. The money will follow your children. Don't buy that, because once you take debt's money, it comes with conditions, with strings.
That's right.
And also, our principle is that the federal government get out. You know, Department of Education get out. You have no business. But both parties, that's why I'm so fed up with this system in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're all trying to just push this down. And they make it sound wonderful, so some people will bite into it. Then they use money. They always use money. I always tell people, don't take devil's money. Now you will lose your freedom. It's like that's how they buy, you know, your consent. You know, that. So there are lots of things people can do. And if you have a local activist group, join them, team up, be united. In Colorado, we go to state capitol almost every week, have a rally. We go to support certain bills, and then we connect, network with each other and share information. We have weekly conference calls and Stop Common Core Colorado. And there are lots of things we can do. I mentioned about Parental Bill of Rights. I was just there just a few days ago on Tuesday, testified to support this bill, but it was killed. It's kind of interesting, JD. The people who showed up, testified to support this bill are all parents.
Right.
Parents tell their stories, and they supported the bill with tears in their eyes. Guess who are the opposition side? State agencies, bureaucrats, nonprofit organizations who get the funding,
yep,
and the professionals who benefit from this. So you got to follow to say, who is your opposition? Follow the money. Do they benefit from this? And there were zero parents testified to, you know, oppose this bill. Think about that. Zero parents. So that tells you who is the special interest here.
That's right. That's right. And it's par for the course for our country. I mean, the revolving door between special interest and the people who are actually producing the books and the textbooks and all that stuff. I mean, they're all going to be one and the same. I guarantee if you go and do a look at who runs the textbook companies, somebody there is lobbying to Washington and making a ridiculous return on their investment. But the cost is going to be with our kids and with our families. And that's, again, I want to just keep driving this home. I'd like to open up the phone lines also. If there's anybody out there who is like an educator or somebody who's got experience with Common Core or maybe would have a question for Lily Williams, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines here for you guys. 866-37-TRUTH or 866-378-7884. So again, if you guys have questions or comments for Lily about all of this stuff that we're talking about, it'd be a great time to hop on the horn. And especially if you're an educator, somebody out there who's got some experience with the transition that we're seeing in this country in terms of education, I'd like to talk to you guys about that. While we're waiting for that, Lily, what are some of the other issues that you guys are working on there in Colorado from the libertarian perspective?
Well, that Colorado went crazy 2013, and they had passed quite a few anti-secondment bills.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at the state capitol to testify to support. I will tell you, the Second Amendment issue and the education issue are the two big issues to me.
Right.
Because I tell people in China, you cannot own any guns. I have a friend come over visiting me. She was so excited to say, take me to gun shop right now, because in her entire life, she's almost 50 years old, she never touched a gun.
All right.
So you only saw guns carried by military people and by cops. And she was posing pictures and touching all kinds of guns and so excited and sent a picture to say, look, free country now, I can touch guns. Of course, you cannot buy one and take cross border to China. So to me, that's another big threat, make me jump off the couch and get involved 2013 and 2012. If people buy into, oh, guns kill people, we can prevent violence. BS, okay? Sure, my mouth said that political power comes out of a barrel of gun.
That's right.
And party to command the gun, never let guns command the party. So it's all about control and power. Can you imagine this? Law-abiding citizens have limited 15 rounds of shots. That's what the Colorado law is. You cannot buy any AR-15 and with over 15, rounds.
Mm-hmm.
They tell me I cannot have so many rounds, but they don't limit theirs.
That's right.
Look, government can have any rounds they want. And the criminals always do not abide in law anyway. They can have all the wrongs they want.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to self-defense, we only rely on cops there to save us, or we rely on ourselves. And the founders put that clause there for a purpose.
Yes.
It's against tyranny. I have an article published by National Review Online called Guns Against Tyranny. Do not forget 1989 when the Chinese government fired to kill 1,000 students in Tiananmen Square. By the way, that's not taught in our schools today. 25 years later, no, they're not mentioned in our schools.
Hmm.
Those victims were still categorized as counter-revolutionaries, and their families are still fighting.
Wow.
So it's dangerous. It's dangerous when you compromise on your Second Amendment right. Do not ever give that up, because if you give that up, there's no way you can defend your other Bill of Rights at all. So I was there passionate to testify and tell people my story. And I basically use, you know, my China background to say, are we become communists? You want to limit my gun rights? And in the name of public goods and public safety, that's what Chinese communist government tells their citizens today.
That's right.
You cannot have guns. You will be chaotic. Society will collapse.
Mm-hmm.
It's only good when government have guns. That's what kind of theory is that? But people buy into that.
I have
friends tell me they buy into that, but I say because you are brainwashed.
That's right.
Because you cannot think as a free mind individual.
Well, it always strikes me too. You know, Bill Gates is a huge proponent of gun control. You know, although he does live with two armed guards, which I find to be interesting. And people don't seem to understand the amount of money that somebody like Bill Gates is putting into removing our gun rights. He really went after Washington State quite a bit. But you got to understand, these people who are pro gun control are not pro gun control, because they still want the police and the military to have weapons to come disarm you. So it's not that they're pro gun control. They just don't want you and I in control of the guns, because, you know, that
they're afraid of grassroots mobile citizens like you and me.
That's right.
And remember that part of the United Nations Agenda 21 and the New World Order, it's all about also gun control. It's about elite ruling class, a few percentage of them, to control us, which is the grassroots, you know, bottom level. We are just like animals. We are not really individuals with rights.
That's true.
And so those people get together with their big money, with their, you know, powerful bodies and government to take our rights away. You know, it's benefits the ruling class. You know, I belong to this group called the American 101 Project. Our mission is to get rid of political ruling class and get rid of career politicians. And now so many of them in Washington doing damage to our freedom every day. And they keep getting elected. That tells you about American people. What's wrong with us? Why do we keep electing people who go to Washington, become corrupt and become super powerful and keep taking our freedom away? Don't we have a right to choose? And with our one vote? Well, most people even don't vote, right? You know,
well, most people don't. And that's one of the things, and I don't know, I don't want to get us into a head to head here. I'm not somebody that votes. I'll lay that out there right now. There's 160,000 federal employees in the government. Only 536 of them you have an opportunity to vote for, and really only 4 of them because of where you live. So to me, I think voting is a lot like hiring an attorney. When you hire an attorney, you're basically telling the court that you're not capable of speaking for yourself. And I believe that when you vote, especially in this system that seems to be controlled by the Diebold network, you know, when we went away from paper ballots and when he got into this whole electronic voting thing, I really kind of, that was at the point where I said, well, there's no accountability in the system anymore. First of all, and second of all, I'm not personally somebody who wants to be managed. I don't necessarily need a leader. I'm perfectly fine living in a constitutional republic that is actually what our country is, and I'm perfectly fine self-governing myself. It's not saying I don't think we need some rules, but again, the situation in Washington right now is so wildly out of control and so non-representative. I mean, to the fact that they call us a democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic, and that's one of the big things about this whole Common Core thing that bothers me, is that we're sucking in all the bad programs from around the world to instill more control over the American people, when really the entire nature of the American people should be disseminating liberty You know, we're not here to spread democracy. I don't want to spread democracy. I don't want to pay a warmongering company to go out and spread democracy. Let's spread liberty. Let's talk about how all human beings are inherently made of God and have the same rights. And then let's readjust the government to represent that fact. I think that's where we need to go from here, Lily. What do you think?
Well, it is a part of our school failure not to teach our kids about constitutional republic, about constitution. I talked to my daughter, how long did you study constitution in school? One time.
A day?
One time, one class. That's it.
Yeah.
And so I gave her a small, my middle pocket one to say, hey, look at it. I said that our system has failed to teach our kids because they do not want you to be well educated and the citizen and knowing your rights. And they think that constitution is outdated. And the teachers' college don't make teachers really study Constitution, Declaration of Independence either.
Right.
Because that's their agenda. You know, why should I educate about your rights and freedom where you can rise up and throw me out? Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at Washington today, that's why people are fed up and Congress has less than, 10% approval rating? Because you have these two major parties basically become one giant big government party who actually make backdoor deals, who can be bought by same kind of corporations with huge money, and corrupt, totally corrupt. That's why, you know, as a libertarian, we never have a chance to win any political offices. We have no money. Now we have people who cannot change their mindset. Oh, it's two-party country. We're going to vote for one of less evils.
That's right.
Even though I really don't like this one, but I'm going to vote for them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just telling people that, are you loyal to party or sports team, or you're loyal to your principles? If you're loyal to your own principles, you cannot compromise. When people deceive you, when people cheat on you, and when people don't represent your values, throw them out.
That's right.
Throw them out. Don't buy yeast. But then lots of people say, well, you know, I cannot do that because then that means if I don't vote for my candidate, not science go win. It's like a party is just true, I tell people. Well, if they're open to other third parties and both third parties, actually we may have some hope here to get those career politicians out of Washington and at least send a message to them. You will have no more army left if you keep doing this crap to us.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the spending bill they just passed. Look at the amnesty they just passed without fight. And did we just win congressional leadership in last year, like the Republicans took over?
Right.
There's no fundamental difference. What good does that do? Who is in control?
Exactly.
I left the Republican Party in 2008 because I totally lost the faith. When the Republican, George Bush, he was in the White House, he had Republican controlled everything. They grow government. They grow debt. They took away our civil liberties. They make the system even less just. Now, where is justice? When you have a government control your life, there's no justice because you have no citizens' right.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you you do have rights, you have justice, but they're not.
I agree. I think we need proportional representation in this country. I think we need to get away from the Electoral College, and I think we need proportional representation. I think that would be a really big first step. I think it's interesting, too, that you said you disowned the Republican Party, and Glenn Beck came out yesterday, said the exact same thing, said he is sick of the lies. But I don't know, Lily. I'm really concerned about this next election coming up. It seems like it's going to be Jeb and it's going to be Hillary, and they're going to spend $1 billion, and it's going to be this huge, great, party fest on TV, this whole nationalistic party fest. You know, what are your predictions for what's going to happen here coming up in the next election cycle, and where we're going to go from here, Lily?
I'm so sick of, those family dynasty names.
Yeah.
Bush and Hillary, and also I'm sick of their political philosophy. Those are establishment people. Those people can be bought, can be corrupt. Look at Jeb Bush's a foundation on education, made lots of money, and he's a strong supporter of Common Core. He believed the federal government's role in education. And Hillary started in the 1900s. Remember this Dear Hillary letter, and from someone to her, talk about how the federal government should take over education and should indoctrinate our children. It's been in the making for years. So it's not just Common Core just came up nowhere, 2009. No, they have been working on this for years and years.
Yeah.
Look at No Child Left Behind. Biggest expansion in federal education role. I don't trust any of those people. And so far that Hillary has a scandal in emails and Jeb Bush is not popular in, you know, in CPAC, straw poll.
Mm-hmm.
But they have money.
That's
they
it.
They have money. They are in the pocket of all the Wall Street and big corporations. And you know what? Big corporations contribute to both sides
mm-hmm.
because they want to protect their interests.
Yeah.
So we are the people who vote. How are we going to exercise our one vote and throw those people out? You know, it's up to American people to choose. We are actually, as libertarians, we are working on a lawsuit against the Presidential Debate Commission. It's a private debate commission who only wants to keep two parties in it. So when you go to the store, you have no choice. You have to buy either Pepsi or Coke.
Right.
Or you go to buy cars. You only have two choices, Chevy or Toyota. What kind of choice is that if we do not open up debate for third parties?
That's right.
There's no true freedom for people to choose because people deserve to be heard. They want to hear other people's voices. If you believe free market competition will make our politicians better, at least on their messaging side.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep them out, it's all this election system is designed to keep all the third parties' voice out because two parties have one thing in common. They want to keep competition off the table. So
that's right.
They too can fight against each other. So it's very important. If you go to Our American Initiative, that's Gary Johnson's non-profit grassroots level, who wants to redefine liberty movement in United States, and he and the third parties are suing the commission. So hope people can give them support. You know, donate $10, $20 or, you know, support their cause. Lots of people are leaving Republican Party and lots of Democrats who are not happy but have not really spoke out yet.
Mm-hmm.
We need you. We need those people who really care about this country, care about the freedom to get involved, not be afraid to speak out. I'm so glad Glenn Beck took the first public stand to say, I'm out. You constantly destroy our constitution. I'm sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted that news on my Facebook yesterday, actually, you know, got lots of likes. And people are just fed up with them.
Well, I can't imagine anyway. I mean, it's not just in the United States. I mean, we're seeing turmoil all over the world. This austerity stuff coming down from the EU across Italy and Greece. I mean, it's getting – there were even riots in Germany the other day in front of their banks. So I think that globally people really are starting to wake up to the fact that we are being controlled in just about every single level that has been available to the controllers. I mean, it's becoming more and more prevalent mainstream to understand that something is definitely, definitely wrong. Lily, we are
in world of trouble for sure. Yeah, they all kick the can down the road. Look at our debt level now. $19 trillion in debt.
That's right. That's right. And $1.2 trillion, I think, just in outstanding student loan debt as of last month. I mean, we are really going towards a fiscal cliff. We're going towards a political cliff. I don't know what we're going to do, but Lily, we've only got about 5 minutes left. Do you have any words of wisdom that you would like to leave with the folks out listening today? They're loving you, by the way, in the chat room. The people are absolutely loving you. So I expect that you will have a lot of internet traffic later on today after the interview, but any words of wisdom, things that we should be knowing about, coming down the pike here?
Well, I appreciate you having me today. My words to American people is that I lived through communism and tyranny. And I say this country is reminding me more and more like China. American people might not believe that to say, oh, you are exaggerating, we're not there yet. Yeah, we are not there 100% like China yet. But we are going down that path fast. Remember what Hitler said. That if you just take a people's freedom rights away little by little every day, they don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Until the point is crossed, then it's too late to take your freedom back. So people, no matter how bitter you are, it's not partisan issue, doesn't matter which party you belong to. This is our country. This is your children's country. So we have to pay attention, get involved now. There are lots of issues we can seek common ground to work together and to help each other. Remember that the Chinese government always trying to divide its citizens by class, by gender, by income, and here by skin color. I'm only always calling on people, recognize that's how they succeed to control us.
Yes.
We need to be united. So please go to my Facebook page, Lily for Liberty, and like it and follow my posts every day. And if you don't get on Facebook, go to my website, use Twitter. Let's keep in touch. I am one individual, but I need a million of you out there support my cause. And you don't see that many Chinese immigrants speak up because they are still trapped in their indoctrinated mind. And some are still afraid, and some are still learning about America. Mm-hmm. So that there are lots of reasons why I'm outspoken, because I wake up earlier, but it still took me about 15 years to get rid of all my bad influence. So think about your children. If you don't fight for them today, they'll be indoctrinated all their life. Yep. It will take so many years to get out of it. So please, those are the issues that are really important today. Just get involved and take action, not just sit around and listen to people talking.
Yes, seriously, I'm going to second that. Please go to lilyforliberty.com and follow along. Please make a donation to her. Help her get her campaign here going. And definitely go check her out on Facebook as well. Lily, did you post something on Facebook that was a printout for parents to take to schools in terms of trying to get out? Do you have like an opt-out form that someone can find on your website or on Facebook?
Well, on our partner's organization called Stop Common Core Colorado, if you go to their website, they're also on Facebook. There is a standardized refuse form you can find, give to your school. I also encourage people use my open letter. It's on my website, under Common Core, source under Common Core. Mm-hmm. It's called Open Letter, Chinese Immigrant Mother Against Common Core. I put all my stories there, how I came to the United States, how I was educated in China. Use my story at your school board meetings and send them to your legislators and congressmen to say, look, lady, say this. This Common Core is communist core. She had in China. I don't want my kids go through that.
Yes.
And feel free to use my YouTube videos. I made a YouTube video in my home basement called Common Core is the communist core I went through in China. 8 minutes. Watch it. And, you know, they're not just indoctrinate your children and make them study to test. They also collect their data, share with government agencies and private corporations. That's what I had. I had a child file follow me all the way to job until I broke the track coming to this country. My file still laying somewhere in China today.
So right?
Yes. So they don't want your kids to be tracked by government and used by corporations for their profit-taking. So use my letter and use my videos and like my Facebook page and join the fight. This is a national movement. If we don't unite to fight, it's going to come down our throats very fast.
I completely agree, and I could not have said that better. Lily, thank you very, very much for joining us on the program today. It has been very insightful, and I know that the people in the chat room just absolutely loved you to pieces. So very, very thankful that you are able to take time out and join us today. Thank you again.
Thank you, Judy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, that's it. We squandered another hour, and man, I'll tell you what, Lily Williams, you guys need to support her. It is a remarkable thing for someone to step up with such a unique bit of insight, and what a unique perspective to be bringing to the world, somebody who's already seen what the end game looks like and had to escape it. Imagine having to escape the country just to get away from your permanent record, ladies and gentlemen. Unbelievable. Absolutely thankful to her. Appreciate all of you guys who are going to go to her website after the show and support her. Just as a reminder, Andrew Gause is going to be joining us tomorrow. We are going to do our very best to get to the bottom of what is going on in the economy right now. I have no idea what is going on. I'm going to talk to him here in a few minutes, and then we will be bringing that to you tomorrow. So everybody, take care out there. Good luck. Keep your head on a swivel next 24 hours. That's all I'm saying. Love all of you individually and epically. I will see you guys tomorrow. Thank you guys for being here this morning. Stay tuned. Also, Roger Sales Show coming up just now on Truth Frequency Radio. So appreciate you guys being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. wherever you are. Make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.